The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus came down from the mountain with the 12 apostles and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people, all from Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots to the stream. May there be found in us, O God, room for every person in the shade of our open arms. In the name of God, amen. Most of us, I believe, go through life trying to learn as much as possible, as much as we can. I forgot the context again, but I heard that oft-repeated phrase that it takes only about 10,000 hours for a person to go from unfamiliarity to expertise. So if you have 10,000 hours to spare, whether in school or business, in families, we come to find that learning doesn't only make us smarter, it can make us richer, safer, even more comfortable. Today, though, I hear Jesus inviting us not to learn more, but to unlearn some things. Unlearning is tough. It really is difficult. And Jesus isn't talking about forgetting things, but examining some of the things we believe which may exclude us from full participation in the reign of God. Each of us has learned things which have been implanted in our souls from parents, from schools, from mentors, from society, from governments. Things are passed down to us and to our children with good intentions. As we grow, some of these lessons become facts, unexamined and unchallenged. Sometimes people hold on to these lessons even when reality or investigation proves them wrong. I had a fraught relationship with my father. When I was one of six kids, so I know I wasn't anything different, but one of the consequences that I had in my relationship with him was that I never heard from his mouth very much praise, only criticism. I remember vividly, I was probably 8 or 9 years old, the experience of him monitoring me washing the dishes. Now, this is before we had a dishwasher. So when he was monitoring me washing the dishes, he was literally hunched over me, watching every move I would make, criticizing everything I did. I remember him vividly, too, sitting cross-armed and silent while I was playing Beethoven's Allegretto movement from the Moonlight Sonata in concert at the age of 12. The only praise that I thought I saw was a slight smile on his face as people told him of their delight in seeing me play. I never, ever knew if he liked my playing or just the compliments he received from the people who heard me. The lessons I learned from that relationship, though, maybe were inspired to help me become my better self, but they made me also question all of my actions as I got older, second-guessing my decisions, increasing the paralysis of analysis. Sometimes that critical parent in my head served me well, but it also served to continue the hurt feelings it inflicted on the 12-year-old me. Dad has been dead for 40 years. You'd think I'd have been over it by now. But these lessons will never be far from my mind and probably never unlearned. I did learn an important lesson from a really good therapist once who said, "You cannot unlearn something. You can only change the way you perceive it." Unlearning things, I think, are impossible. There are things that all of us have learned that would be better off forgotten if it were just that easy. In the gospel this morning, Jesus' teaching invites us to change the way we perceive things, to unlearn a few things, to become authentic followers of the gospel. First, a little bit about this passage from the Gospel of Luke. Notice that it contrasts from the same story in the Gospel of Matthew, where it's called the Sermon on the Mount. This is clearly not the Sermon on the Mount, though the context is the same, the content is the same. For in Luke's Gospel, Jesus moves down from the mountain to a level plain, where his words are meant to pull all people together on a level playing field. The people to whom Jesus now preaches are just like him. Don't forget, Jesus was not a privileged being. Like the others, he was mostly poor, often hungry, living lives of sorrow, forever alienated. These are real conditions for Jesus, not some allegorical turn of the phrase. Yet he looks them square in the eye, these people who are just like him, and says, "You who are poor, hungry, sorrowful, or alienated, you are blessed." You might wonder, was Jesus being cruel by implying, "You poor, hungry, sad, and alienated folk are blessed, but you'll just have to be patient to get your fill"? Is Jesus telling his kinfolks, "Yes, God loves you, just take consolation in being blessed and ignore your hunger, poverty, sorrow, and alienation"? Or is Jesus suggesting a revolutionary change in perceptions of people who are poor, hungry, sorrowful, or alienated? Most of the people, us, who are privileged, who are well-fed and comfortable, have accepted lessons taught us from childhood that the poor will always be with us, and there's little we can do for them. Most of us have learned or heard that the poor are that way because of drugs or alcohol or laziness. We've heard that there are plenty of food banks available, and if they really wanted it, psychiatric help is always accessible. It doesn't help to clarify Jesus' message when people in power call the poor parasites or accursed, while teaching us that we have no responsibility to them. When he calls these people blessed and warns the comfortable, well-fed, rich, and powerful of the woes that await them, Jesus is initiating a revolution that begins with us. He invites us to challenge our perceptions and to take direct responsibility for the poor, the hungry, the sad, and alienated. Because, and this is the countercultural Jesus speaking, the image of God can best be seen in their eyes. He is changing the way we see the poor. He's changing the power structures of people, of neighbors, of governments, and of society. By challenging our assumptions, by coming to see the presence of God in the eyes of those who are on the margins, Jesus says we can then sidestep the trap into which our ancestors had fallen. Thing is, it's not just our perceptions about the poor, the hungry, the sad, and marginalized that Jesus is challenging today. We've all been victims of the harmful lessons taught us as children or even as adults. We've been taught that people who are not white like us, perhaps, or who don't worship like us, should have fewer rights and privileges. We've been taught that the value in women and girls is only in how they appear, in how thin they are, or in how obsequious they are to men. We are being taught today that members of a political party other than our own are stupid people, un-American, and cannot be Christian. To stop being victimized by these lessons, we must challenge them and change our perceptions. While it may be easier and more convenient for us to ignore the call to challenge these beliefs, the results are that we become free people. Jesus calls us to step into a world of welcome, where poor and rich alike will find a caring face in every crowd. Jesus calls us to a world where living peaceably and sharing our resources with folks of different color, culture, or country is everyone's right. Jesus calls us to a world where opportunity is not reserved to any class or color, but where freedom is everyone's inalienable right. Jesus invites us into a world where women are respected for being human beings, and where there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free. Jesus invites us into a world where differences in ideology or politics are seeds for diversity and opportunities for personal and social growth. This is the revolution that Jesus started. It is for this revolution that he died and for which he was resurrected. If we say this world of Jesus does not or cannot exist, then our faith in God is in vain. If we say that the world as Jesus sees it is an illusion, then Christ has not been raised from the dead, and we wallow in our sin. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And while the world struggles to live into that resurrection life, Christ is found most especially where people cry for justice, where hungry people yearn to be fed, where sad people are lifted up, and where alienated people find a home in our arms and in our hearts. Christ is risen. Amen.